Hi, this is Paul Warne, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rams Review Podcast. And this week, Jason is back on hosting duties. Thanks to Corey for looking after the last couple of weeks as the signal in the south of England decided to desert me a little bit. So I was unable to cover that, but I'm back this week. And joining me for a very interesting debate, I'm sure, about Saturday's result and where that leaves Derby for the rest of the season, I'm joined by Chris Smith. Chris, nice to have you on again, mate.
Yeah, evening, Jason. Yeah, thanks for inviting me. Always appreciate it.
No problem. And we've got Mitchell as well, who is live from Pride Park at this moment in time. Mitchell, thanks for joining us, mate.
Thank you for having me on again.
You're all right. Don't worry. It's not an obviously, we've just said it's not an interview, but yeah, you are currently just outside the ground. So that's interesting. As the fans forum, which I'm looking forward to hearing all about, obviously, I'm sure it was planned before, but nice timing after obviously the win on Saturday. You'd like to think that's going to be quite a positive room, maybe. But we'll wait to see if I'm sure that'll get put on Rams TV in due course. But we're here to talk all things Bolton Wanderers from the result on Saturday. Chris, I'll start with you. We were just chatting off air a little bit, and it was more about obviously the occasion. Sort of out for me outweighed the game in certain parts. It was, I remember getting to the ground, and there was a bit of a nervous sort of energy. Probably one of the first times this season I felt that at Pride Park, if I'm honest. Obviously, we'll go through the game in as much detail as we can, but I mean, just the occasion, obviously. Bolton come into town. We'd seen them 3 days previous put five past Oxford and look quite comfortable. I'd seen that game. I'd not got the Barnsley game on stream, unfortunately, when I was away last week, but I managed to watch the Bolton one. And to say they'd not really got a recognised striker up front, they'd look pretty solid for the 5-0 win. And so I was a bit worried about Bolton turning up at Pride Park on Saturday. And as I've just said, I think for large parts, it was... I know Paul Warne's used this terminology before. It was a bit of a game of chess for me Saturday. I thought, you know, Derby played in a way that I don't think we've seen too much at Pride Park. Whereas we've been a bit more, not all the time, but we've been a bit more forceful on teams. But I think the respect was there that Bolton, if they were given the opportunity, they would have easily have not been able to, you know, knock it round Derby. And I think, actually, one of the first talking points, apart from obviously the atmosphere, is probably the injury to Dwight Gale early on in the first half. And we made that change, which brought Corey Smith into the midfield, and obviously we overloaded the midfield a little bit. And the tide had turned, because I thought Bolton had started the game pretty well, and not without too many great chances, apart from one wonder save from Joe Wildsmith, which of course we'll move on to. But that opening sort of 15-20 minutes was quite hotly contested, and then I felt Derby grew into the game, funnily enough, when we lose our striker.
Well, yeah, we completely agree with that. I think the Saturday was just a brilliant occasion, wasn't it? And you know, and we were saying before the recordings that we'd switched the button on, you know, definitely had like playoff game vibes, didn't it? You know, just the whole build up, the whole kind of the way the league table was, the atmosphere, you know, all the talk before the game about, you know, the black and white day and getting the flags back out and all of that kind of stuff. And yeah, you know, sellout crowd who, in fairness, were behind the team. And I think that it had that whole vibe, and it was just, such a I mean, how many times this season, previous seasons, flipping forever, have Derby got themselves into these positions where we have a pivotal game and we just don't turn up? Or something horrendous happens where somebody gets sent off, or, just the whole thing goes pear-shaped. And I think that, in fairness to Warne, kind of he has took absolute pelters this season, really. And even, not innocent at all. And, we've certainly had a pop at him on this show a couple of times. And but yeah, I mean, in fairness to the bloke, I think two things I would say on Saturday is one is the limited hand that he had, he played it almost to perfection. And the second thing is, I think that some of the stuff that he has spoken about from day one, so all this kind of like togetherness, team spirit, all for one, one for all, and kind of why are we here, what are we playing for, positivity, and all of those kind of things. Now, those kind of things sound like absolute nonsense when you're getting pumped by Stevenage. But I think what we saw on Saturday really reminded me. I was talking to someone about it on, really reminded me of like the playoffs with Billy Davis. When we play Southampton, clearly better than us. West Brom at Wembley, clearly better than us. But we just had that togetherness, that team spirit, the organisation, and that will to win. And yeah, there was nothing in the game. I'm not for one minute, by the way, saying Bolton played us off the park, because they definitely didn't. But I just think that what I saw on Saturday was probably the best bits of Warne, if that's, if there is, if all the things that Warne spoke about and all the things we've heard about him from Rotherham, and again, earlier in the season, we absolutely slaughtered him for this underdog mentality. But I think on Saturday, that all came to the fore. And what I saw, you saw Mendes charging back and absolutely racing 30 yards and full fat slide tackle and smashing someone within, kind of 2 minutes of the kickoff, and he's like our best attacking player. So yeah, I mean, amazing occasion, and it was just so great that it went our way. Yeah, I think, I can't. And there was just a general kind of like pre-match, post-match, you've heard it on the clips, nobody left the ground, and just the buzz, the feel-good factor. And even like going into Sunday, you're going online and everybody's like still putting clips out and putting photos up and going on about it. And it's just brilliant. And, I don't think for one minute that the job's done, but that one on Saturday was a real good day, and, definitely a massive, step in the right direction.
I think there's a couple of things I want to pick up on there, Chris, and that there seems to have been all of a sudden, and talk about it in a little bit in more detail, but there does seem to have been, I was going to say a change in mentality, but I'm not, I don't know if it is a change, but like you've just, I don't know if it's just the fact that it's finally now at the right time for a change in a season, it's coming to fruition. So that's definitely a point I want to pull up on in a little bit. But Mitchell, to talk about what Chris has just said, I think he's hit the nail on the head there, that for the first time in a long time, Derby played the occasion as well as the game, and it came out with Derby on the positive side of it, because we have had it a couple of times this season already where Derby have had chances to make waves and they've just let themselves down a little bit, whereas it seems like we got everything about Saturday was just luckily spot on.
Yeah, I think that's right, to be honest. I think if you look at, as you say, 2 minutes into the game, Mendes Lang's making a tackle like he is. You can tell they were up for it on that day. And it was something that it's been needed all season. And I think for it to actually happen in a game as big as Bolton, it was needed then. And I think that, to be honest, can spur us on for the rest of the season and hopefully push us now into that. 4 points clear in second, pushes into just going and getting the over the line, really. And I think the fact that they were backed by so many fans, we've seen it in the past that having that many fans at Pride Park hasn't always helped. We've had some games where we'll have 30,000 and they'll crumble under the pressure. But I think, at the Bolton game, they knew what was on the line and they really played the occasion, as you say, and put in what they needed to do to get the result.
Yeah, I can't argue it as being part of that South Stand myself. It was a very nice atmosphere to be part of. I must admit, I've seen people put it on X and things like that. Obviously, people hark back to that draw against Birmingham in the administration season. And one of the ones I remember that's sort of vivid, sticks out in my memory about a South Stand being like that was after Project Restart, the first time we played Forest at Pride Park. I think it was like on a Friday night, that game, or a Monday night, or whatever it may well have been. And, not the traditional Saturday, but the atmosphere at Pride Park was just absolutely electric. And I think that's exactly how I felt on Saturday. As I say, unfortunately, sort of 5, 10 minutes into the game, where it did look like Bolton had made the better start and settled that little bit more. My heart was in my mouth a little bit. And as we just mentioned a minute ago there, first couple of talking points is obviously Derby's losing their striker, which is n something that, we've done on the last few weeks. We've lost one, and it's been a talking point that Derby haven't been able to maintain a threat going forward. But I thought they did on Saturday. And then, of course, Mitchell, where else do you start? But that save from Joe Wildsmith from Bod Varson. I mean, I'm at the opposite end, so you don't really get that great of a view. But of course, you watch it on the highlights. I mean, that is one thing, certainly on the podcast, that we've talked about since Joe came in, and I know most people have on social media, is shot stopping isn't something that's ever been really questioned, because he has pulled out over the last 2 years some incredible saves, and that one on Saturday, it's probably not a match winner, but it's as close to being. I mean, that kept Derby well in the game, because it was at a point where I thought Bolton were slightly on top. If they'd have scored from there, that'd have got their tails up, and it would have been interesting to see how Derby would have reacted to that. But of course, hindsight, we won't know that, because that's not the way it panned out. But crucial points at crucial times, and that save for me is definitely a crucial part of that first half.
Oh, it was. I mean, I think it kind of set the rest of the team up as well. Like, I mean, you pull off a save like that, and it gives your team confidence. You know, that's as much as a goal at the other end. I mean, he's literally denying Bolton the chance to go ahead and head to drop. And, you know, yeah, you'd have the fans you'd like to think spur him back on to try and, you know, come from behind. But against a team who are third in the league, who have looked solid all season, you know, it's not that easy to go and get the result. So that save, I think, was absolutely huge in terms of, you know, not that tackle from Enders Lang, as I say, like, it just fires the players up. And if you've got your keeper making that sort of save, you think this is going to be our afternoon. You know, because we've seen plenty of times there's been chances where maybe Wildsmith should have done better. And we've all said, oh, you know, he should probably be doing better with that, and you know, he shouldn't be conceding, whatever. Whereas in that game against Bolton, he's making that save, and then the players are like, wow, like, you know, we've got our keeper who's looking unbeatable today. We've got, you know, our players, everyone, and even like our most furthest forward is getting stuck in. I think it just shows that the desire they had just to get that game over the line.
Yeah, no, I would fully agree. And Chris, as we mentioned, it wasn't a game of lots and lots of chances. It wasn't necessarily end-to-end football. And as I say, from what I'd seen from Bolton the previous, what, four nights previous, I was not fearing the worst, but it was like one of the best attacks in the division up against one of the best defences in the division, and which one was going to give. I thought we'll call out a couple of players a little bit later on for quite heavy praise in that back line. But Derby just defended for me as well as we have all season. I mean, we can't knock the way that Derby have defended this season. It has been pretty good. But when the chips are down against a team like Bolton, who, as I say, were full of confidence, surely from a 5-0 victory on the Tuesday night, the way that Derby defended as a back five, back six with a goalkeeper, however many you want to call it, I mean, I know it's a football cliche, but if you don't concede, you're guaranteed a point, aren't you? And it was a great platform in that first half of very few chances. And again, in the second, for me, there was a lot of parts of that game where Derby just didn't look like conceding.
No, I think you're right. I mean, you mentioned at the top of the show about, us becoming more solid when Gale went off. And I think Warne's actually one of the interviews I heard him say, I'm sure he said, in retrospect, he probably was a little bit kind of gung-ho in his setup. Obviously we're off the back of three wins where, we've played a certain formation that's worked. We've blown a couple of teams out of the water in doing that. And he was probably, thinking, well, let's just keep the show on the road. But yeah, I think that as soon as Corey Smith came on, and we got Adams, he was sort of at the back with Hourihan, and Adams was kind of weirdly playing at the top of the triangle, wasn't he, at the start? And then when Liam came on at half time, he went at the top of the triangle, and Adams went to his more kind of traditional role, kind of CDM next to Corey Smith. I mean, we look like brick walls, but I think again, it's like as I said at the start, and as Mitchell's alluded to as well, I think for me, combination of things here, like good organisation. Again, fair play to the coaching team. The team was obviously well prepped. Again, recognising the danger of Sheehan and doing something about it. And also just the outright desire of the players. They just. People were running through brick walls, flying into tackles, blocks, headers. Just the desire to win the land on the second balls and all of that stuff. It was just great to see. And I think that, again, I'll pick on something else that Mitchell just mentioned there about he's spot on this season. And this definitely was good on Saturday. Where sometimes when you get the bigger crowd, it doesn't always work out. Same at away games as well. Sometimes you get to an away game and you get like load, like MK or somewhere like that, where you get like 8,000 tickets or something nuts. I'm not doing the kind of I've been to Grimsby on a Tuesday night thing, but sometimes when you get a lot of fans who don't come every week, maybe they're not as patient, or maybe they're not as I don't know, tolerant, shall we say, when things aren't going the way. And I just thought, and sometimes that could be a negative thing, when the big crowd, people get grumpy, and then it feeds the players, then the players get nervous, and doesn't always work out. Now, I just thought on Saturday, the whole crowd was behind, because, and again, where bad vibes feed bad vibes, well, equally, when you see people smashing into tackles, and clearly, that was a super tight game, and regardless of all the tactics and the chess, every single Derby player was clearly giving it 120%, right? And I thought the crowd fed off that, and then the crowd were up. And you don't often see this at Derby, but they were singing all four sides of the ground. You don't always see that. There was songs popping up in the East Stand, Southwest corner, in North Stand getting involved, songs starting in the South Stand and then reverberating around the ground. And you just don't see that very often at Pride Park. And it made him, there's no question it made a massive difference, dragging the lads out through that 7 minutes of injury time. And then, yeah, as I say, just general scenes of jubilation and relief at the end. It was awesome, really. So yeah, brilliant. And let's see what happens. Well, the injury list is the one, isn't it? That's the one thing we need to see next before we get into Northampton.
Absolutely. Before we talk on the goal and the winning goal that sent the Pride Park faithful home happy. The other point, sort of, kind of everything that you've both mentioned, I think, again, one of the things that worked so well on Saturday were the time, not necessarily, sorry, no, not necessarily the timings of the substitutions, but every single substitution for me, Mitchell, that was made an impact, made a difference. I wouldn't say it's not that that's not the first time that that's happened this year, but again, something that Paul Warne has been criticised by a little bit sometimes this season, that he's not quite got his substitutes right. Just every single one for me. Unfortunately, obviously, Dwight Gale was a forced one, which we didn't really want. But all the others, Elder coming on, whipping the corner in for the goal, which we'll talk about in a minute. Just every single thing just fell into place on Saturday.
It did, but I also think you say, like, obviously about his criticism and stuff. It was a very bold move what he did to change it when he did. I mean, he clearly wasn't happy with how it was going, and he clearly wanted something. And to change it up, okay, he was forced into the change of Corey Smith coming on to get the extra man in midfield. But then to change three changes at half time, to do that's bold against someone like Bolton as well. You know, that is something that could have ended very badly. I mean, we've seen games where he's made changes and it has gone badly, and then there's a lot of criticism. Why has he made those changes? And even if they're enforced. And it's like that game to make three at half time, he clearly just wasn't happy with something. And, you know, he's made the right call in the end. So he absolutely did get it spot on. And there's literally no criticism at all from every player who played in that game. I thought the 45 minutes Thompson was on, he was excellent. Callum Elder obviously putting the ball in for the goal. You've got Corey Smith putting the shift in. You know, all these players, they got it spot on that day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The talking point then, we've got to come to it, Chris. The goal, I mean, Derby are becoming a bit of a set piece side. It's obviously something that Paul Warne's wanted in the game, in the team for the last 18 months, 2 years since he's been in. And if you look back, actually, over the last few weeks, especially without obviously some of the recognised strike force that we've unfortunately we've missed through injury. There are different ways to skin a cat. Some people will say it's ugly football. Some people, I'm sure, won't be too pleased about that. But at the end of the day, if it's working, and this team has definitely scored from more set pieces for me this season than I can remember for quite some time.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree with that. And I was thinking about it. If I was actually thinking about this today, with you know, I think if Gale is out for a few weeks, which he looks like he is, there's also a little bit of talk about Barkhouse potentially was a forced one on Saturday as well. He got an injury, so obviously you've got Corey Blackett to come in, but we haven't really. Again, we're going into Saturday with, unless Washington can roll out for a period of time, we haven't really got a striker. So set pieces massive, but again, look at the firepower there. You've got people, Sibley, Elder, Joe Ward, obviously Hourihan, Max Bird, if he's around, you know, loads of people who can hit a decent corner. But then look at what's going in the box. You know, previous years we've had, so, you know, we've always had small teams, haven't we? We've never really had, you know, you potentially on Saturday, if he kind of, if Sonny Bradley's back. And he drops Foz into left back instead of Sibley, perhaps, for that experience. You know, you've got a corner there. You've got Nelson, Cash, Sonny Bradley, and Foz all attacking a set piece. You know, and all four of them are capable of doing damage. And obviously, and in amongst all of that, Kane Wilson, who was the smallest bloke on the pitch, got on the end of the one on Saturday, didn't he? So, you know, even, you know, I know Collins isn't playing, but he's got on the end of a couple as well. So when you've got that many people, the delivery is good. You can't mark them all. And yeah, so I think set pieces have been brilliant this season, but I think they're going to be massive to the end, you know, with this kind of striker problem we've got. And again, as you've seen in goals change games, so you know, when the Port Vale game, you know, we got the early goal as we've done in numerous home games, didn't really get that set. But then when Dwight Gale just scored that goal out of nothing second, it's a different game, you know, the game state changes. And I think that, you know, set pieces from now until the end with our striker issue are going to be massive, going to be massive.
Yeah, they are. They've definitely won us points so far this season, and like you say, I would imagine certainly in some of those tighter games, Northampton away for a perfect example on Saturday. If that game goes, you know, a different way, a set piece goal can be crucial. sort of to round off Saturday, I want to bring up a couple of players, Mitchell, that. Certainly caught my eye, and like you say, I don't think you can knock really any of them. We've mentioned Joe Wildsmith was with that fantastic save. One player that I have to pull out, and it was mentioned on Radio Derby on the sports scene talking last night, Craig Forsyth. He just slotted straight back in after 5 6 weeks out, and I think he got man of the match on Saturday. I mean, I how somebody. No matter how many times certain fans will knock Craig Forsyth. There's a reason that he's been at the club for 11 years, and there's a reason that he's still now probably one of the first choice at the back when he's fit, is because he can come in just like that off the back of an injury and put in a performance like that in such an important game like that. It's just a calm head, and for me, he didn't put a foot wrong yet again.
Yeah, I think the phrase they use is seasoned professional, don't they? And he definitely is that. I mean, if you look, he comes into that side after a spell out. I mean, what you've got to look back on as well is his career. He's had three ACL injuries, and he's gone through all of them, and he's putting in performances at his age he is now. And arguably, last season was his best season he's had. And he's picked up an injury this year, and he's come back in against one of the toughest teams in the league, and he's literally gone and put in a player of the match performance. And it just shows like how good of a servant he's been for this club. And it also shows just how much we've missed him as well. I mean, there's been games where we've been like, oh, we shouldn't have lost this, or we shouldn't have conceded this goal, or whatever. And we're like, oh, I wonder what the problem is. But then we put Forsyth back in the side after he returns from injury, and we realise that he's actually that crucial for us. And I know he's had criticism throughout the years, but I think definitely in the latter stages of his career, he's proved just how vital he is and how much he's needed by this Derby side.
I would agree. And Chris, I'll ask you as well, because I actually thought, as I say, that performance on Saturday was incredible. We've seen it times this season where obviously we've had to have a bit of a reshuffle at the back. Certain players have come in, hasn't always worked out. We know the names. Bradley didn't kick it off straight away. Joe Ward, when he came back in, wasn't fantastic. I mean, but for Forsyth, just to bowl straight back into that back line on Saturday. It was a shame Bradley missed out, because I think he's been pretty solid for the last 5 or 6 weeks in a Derby shirt. But to have somebody like that who's a ready replacement to come in and then perform in such a game like that, I mean, I'm sure people will be talking about another contract extension in the summer, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to add, really, mate. I mean, it was phenomenal what he did in such a big game as well. To come in such a big game, such a big occasion. And again, I suppose he's been there before, which is probably why Warne trusts him. It was just he was fully deserving a man of the match, I thought. Kind of. Over the 90, I know people will say with the two saves Wildsmith made, and I'm not knocking that at all, but yeah, I just thought the whole kind of, I mean, all three of them were brilliant, weren't they? Like Nelson, Cashin, Fozzie. But yeah, as I say, for all the reasons that we've spoke about, Foz coming back, he's also, everyone loves him anyway, don't they? He's got that much goodwill in the tank. And again, maybe that feeds into the crowd as well, mate. So the fact that you've got that guy who's been there, done it, everyone loves him, and he's running through brick walls, he's not played for weeks, it was just brilliant. And more power to him. And yeah, as you rightly say, it will be depending on what league we're in, if we do get over the line, it'll be interesting to see if Warne fancies him for another year. You wouldn't bet against it, would you?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't. Which obviously is a very, very positive thing that rounds up a very positive weekend. And as we say, that's one. It's only one down, seven to go. But it's definitely a move in the right direction, I would say. So before we move on to game number 40 of the season and talk the trip to Six Fields on Saturday, of course we'd be remiss if we didn't look at that Bolton fixture in a little bit more context in terms of the league table, Chris. And obviously this weekend, that game against Northampton, I think it's a lot, most sides aren't playing. I think there's only three or four League One fixtures. So I appreciate there'd be a game in hand, but it gives Derby the opportunity to back up that result on Saturday with a hopefully another positive performance and result. And that then puts the onus back on Bolton and the rest of the chasing pack, which I think is important. Are you looking behind still more than looking ahead with this league table with 7 games to go, or is it still, and as I think it is, it's still probably up for grabs at the moment?
Well, I'm 100% looking behind. I mean, I don't care if we finish first or second. And I think the way it's worked out on Saturday, and it is really well. It's bad for me because I had a ticket, and I got a ticket for it, banking on the fact it was going to get moved for internationals, and then it didn't. So I'm not going to the game now, which is a wounder. But because I think Mendes actually wrote to the Guatemalan FA, didn't he, and asked to be excused from their games. And obviously with well so with Washington may actually be back, but I was thinking with Washington injured, and I don't know if Cash is involved with Ireland, but obviously with Mendes not going, then we haven't got the three players needed to cancel the game. So Derby have obviously had a look and made a kind of a bit of a tactical choice there, I think, or a strategic choice, probably a better word, should I say, to get the game on if they possibly could. I mean, what an opportunity. I mean, forget games in hand, mate. You get 7 points ahead. That's a lot of points. So, if you break this down, we've got 7 games to go. I think if we get 2 points a game out of that, somebody's going to have to do something pretty monumental to better us, I think. And I think the key is, obviously we're not going to win all 7 games. I think the killer point is hold your nerve when we inevitably hit that little brick. But I think Saturday's big. I think, kind of what we can't have is after the Lord Mayor's show. Do you know what I mean? And what we don't want to be doing, all that effort, all those good vibes, although, we're in such a great position now. If we can follow that up on Saturday, get the win, 7 points ahead of them. Because I think they've all got a lot of the others are playing each other, aren't they? So I think Portsmouth are playing pretty much everybody. Certainly Bolton have got to go to Posh last game of the season. They're definitely playing Portsmouth at some point. Portsmouth, I think, have got to play us, Posh, Barnsley, and Bolton. I think I'm right in saying. So, I'm not really focusing on them at all. I mean, if we get to the last couple of games and we're home and hosed, and it'll be a laugh if we can, sort of pip them at the post, but. I think we just got to get out of this flipping league, mate. And I think Saturday, get that win by whatever means, as we're saying. I think we're way past the point of kind of style over substance. And I don't really care if we have one corner in the old game and win 1-0. We just got to win this game on Saturday by whatever means and get 7 points. And then I think if we get 7 point jump on them, forget games in hand. I think that looks hard for them at that point.
Yeah, I think that's is a very key point, as you say. It's the disappointment of them not picking up anything against us, which arguably they probably were good for a point, if I'm going to be completely honest. And then the double whammy that they're not playing that weekend and they can't automatically bounce back, and obviously they've got that extra time between their fixtures. And I think exactly what you've just said, it's quite, if it has been done for that reason, it's quite a strategical move to keep that game on Saturday. We wouldn't want another one shoved in further down the line. So actually, to get this game in on Saturday for me is hopefully going to be a positive thing. Mitchell, your thoughts on, say, 7 games to go, the way that the league's shaking up. I'm going to put something to you. As Christian's just said, and I would agree with this. If we win it, it'd be great, but it's getting out of this league. If things go well on Saturday, and then of course, as most seasons do, the Easter weekender, extended weekender for Derby is obviously their trip to Fratton Park to be moved to the Tuesday night. If Derby go into that game on Tuesday night in a couple of weeks' time at Fratton Park, somehow, where a victory would pull them, a point away, level with Portsmouth, or maybe albeit go above them. Is that a welcome distraction for you, or is that do you just have to try and treat it as any other game?
I think it's got to be any other game, personally. I think we need to just look at it a game at a time. End of day, for us, it's about getting out of the league. We don't care. I mean, personally, anyway, I don't care if we win the league, if we go up in second, as long as we don't have to go in playoffs. I don't want the Wembley trauma again. I don't want to, rely on two, playoff games and then a final. I don't want that again. So for me, it's all about getting, the results that we need when we can get them. And I think, to be honest, looking at the games in hand that we've got, I think four of them are at least easy wins, or should be. And then two of them, I'd say, Portsmouth and Blackpool, they're going to be the tough ones. And then there's, Wickham in there, who always seem to get a result against us somehow. But I think I'd be confident otherwise that we should get over the line in second at least. And I think we just can't look at that Portsmouth game as, oh, it's Portsmouth and they're top of the league. We just need to look at it as any other game, like we did with Bolton.
Chris, sort of a similar question to you about the Portsmouth one, really. Would you rather it be on Saturday rather than in 3 or 4 games' time, where if, as I say, if Derby can navigate Northampton and get something at home against Blackpool on Good Friday, whilst they'll go into that trip against Portsmouth at Fratton Park in obviously in solid form, is it an unwelcome distraction at the moment? I think I'm looking at it. I'd rather be playing somebody else than top of the league, especially while we're sat in second and there's still a potential of one eye on getting up there. I'd rather probably not have that game personally.
Well, yeah, clearly it'd be better, to be playing Carlisle away than Portsmouth away. But I think that, yeah, I mean, I think it's nice that we've got these two games to come. So what would be good is, as I say, if we can get at least 4 points, if not six, of Northampton and Blackpool, and then to a degree, does Portsmouth become a little bit of a free hit? I think it does. That's the key. I think for the Portsmouth game, I ain't forget about it. I don't even, I'm not sitting here going, oh, it's massive. Can we win the league? I don't think anybody's thinking that. I'm just sitting here thinking, I want 14, 15 points to get second place, and anything else that happens is a bonus. But yeah, as I say, I'm super uber focused. 2 points a game out of these seven, so minimum four, possible six out of Northampton and Blackpool, whichever way around that goes. And then, to me, then Portsmouth becomes, a bit of a free bag, and hopefully after that we can try and get some players, but strikers back, for the two home games against Orient and Carlisle at the end. But obviously, again, those last four games are all right, aren't they? To be fair, kind of Cambridge away, Wickham away. Wickham can't go up, can't go down. Cambridge might be scrapping, but yeah, as I say, key is these next two matches to me massive, and we've got to get something Saturday, and then bring whatever we bought for Bolton for Blackpool.
No, I would fully agree. And I think, as Mitchell's just said there, I think if I was to look at any of them at the moment, I think Blackpool at home is probably one. And that trip to Wickham, because Derby just seem obviously haven't had the greatest of times against them over the last couple of years. I think you could be right, Chris. I mean, it could become a free hit for Derby at Portsmouth. I mean, it could even be that the pressure it's Portsmouth at Fratton Park, if they continue to win, that they could, I'm sure by that point, what, 3 more games to go, that could probably wrap up their automatic promotion. And obviously, they've got one hand on the trophy. It'd be interesting to see how pressure affects them. So, yeah, there's probably still a twist or two to come. But as you say, I think that certainly that final three, Orient at home, Cambridge away, and Carlisle at home. I mean, it'd be very Derby to throw it away with those three, wouldn't it? But let's fingers crossed. Not that much of this season's been typical Derby, so I'm hoping that that isn't the case. And as I say, they come thick and fast, don't they? What we got, 5 weeks left of the season. I think it is 6 weeks left of the season. Back end of April, I think the last game is, isn't it, in the league? So, yeah, all to play for, as you say. If we can get in a couple more back on the grass off the injury at the injury room, that'd be cracking. Because I wouldn't like to tackle these next seven without a recognised striker, I have to say. But it'd be interesting to see how the likes of obviously Collins, Wash, Waghorn's obviously in and around it at the moment. Hopefully, Dwight's is not as bad, but it does sound like it might be 3 or 4 weeks. So straight away, 3 or 4 weeks takes you to the last couple of games, doesn't it? And yeah, trying to navigate that without a recognised striker, we kind of saw what that was like against a couple of opponents in the last couple of weeks, where we've relied on set pieces to win his games. But if we can do that, then as you say, it all sounds quite a positive mix at the moment at Derby, which is very nice to be saying. It's not very often we do. To finish off the pod, then, as I say, we'll look into that. I think we've kind of just covered it, but Northampton Saturday, Mitchell, it's go there and just continue what's been going for the last 3 or 4 weeks, really. I mean, obviously we're in brilliant form away from home. We've not been too bad at home either the last couple. It's just about going there, doing what we can, and coming away from it unscathed.
It is. I think the thing is, we don't even need performances, we just need results. Because all that matters come next season is that we're in the championship, and I think it's not going to be an easy game. No game's an easy game in these lower leagues. We've gone to games where Stevenage, for example, at Pride Park, it took us the 90th minute. And okay, they've done well this season, Stevenage, but they're not a side that you'd ever imagine would be, sort of doing well against a team like Derby. You'd expect them to turn them over in recent years, really. So I'm not thinking it's going to be like an easy afternoon at Northampton where we go in and get 3 goals, win 3-0, and on to the next one. I just think, for me, even if it is, like I said earlier, a 1-0 from a corner, and it's one corner in the game, I'm happy to take that because we just need the result.
No, I would fully agree. Chris, your thoughts on the visit to Sixfields? We want a performance like we got at Memorial Stadium a couple of weeks ago against Bristol Rovers, don't we?
Well, we do, but as I say, I think as I said earlier in the chat, I think the key question for me is who's actually fit. So I think Warne's presser is going to be super interesting this week. Not that he'll obviously reveal who's, I mean, I guess he'll tell us a bit more if Gale's out for a stint. But yeah, I mean, it depends what sort of team we roll out. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Bradley will be back. Wouldn't be surprised at all if he kept Foz in for the experience, put him left back, and kind of drop Sibley and just keep us nice and solid. As we did on Saturday, start from the base that they don't score and see what we can get. Maybe Corey Blackett might be an X factor as well. If Barkhuizen, again, Ward, not Ward, Warne, suggested that Barkhuizen did also have a bit of a pull or a tweak or something on Saturday. So if he's struggling, then maybe Corey Blackett might be. Maybe it's his time to shine. Who knows? But yeah, we'll wait with bated breath and see who's on the team sheet. But let's face it, who's ever on the team sheet? Let's just not let them score. Nothing stupid. No self-destruct. We should have more than enough to be able to pinch something, I would have thought.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think he even said that Ward, I think the reason he brought Ward off at half time on Saturday was because he was feeling his hamstring a bit as well, feeling a bit tight. So he might be a doubt as well. We'll have to wait and see, as you say, the presser, what, Thursday probably. We'll know a lot more. And I mean, to be fair, that's about it, I think, for the podcast. And as I say, it's just to round it all up nicely, hopefully. There feels like there's been, as I mentioned, a bit of a culture change, Chris. It just seems like all of a sudden things are starting to sort of just fall and click into place. Obviously, I'm not going to go too over the top with it, but it does feel like ever I'm the Barnsley game for me, I don't think we were that bad in. I think the Charlton one at home, obviously, we were god awful. But since then, there just seems to be a little bit of something, and I'm not quite sure what it is. There's a bit of belief been blown back into them, maybe, or there's something, because I'd say that the last three or four results and performances, in all fairness, have been some of the better ones we've seen this season. There seems to be, everybody who was slating Warne, me included. Obviously, Clowes knew what he was doing, bringing in somebody who's got promotions out of this division, because it just feels like that little bit of extra experience now surely is going to be something that benefits us for the final seven.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Yeah, he has that mantra, doesn't he? Don't get too high on the wins, too low on the defeats and stuff. I think Gale's been a game changer. So it's super disappointing that he's missing. But yeah, as I say, I think the you kind of whisper it quietly because we've been here before, and as I say, it's just a case of. Saturday was just one of those rare occasions where it was a big day for Derby, big opportunity, big chance, and they turned up and they took the chance. So let's just not now blob it by going losing to flipping Northampton. So, but yeah, no reason why not. As you say, things seem to fall into place. The lads are focused, uber determined. It seems like they've really got that kind of togetherness and team spirit that you've seen in all the successful Derby teams over the years. Yeah, let's just hope that we can keep it going as long as we can and get the job done, mate.
Absolutely. Mitchell, I'll let you have the final word. I certainly don't want to say the words typical Derby or the Derby way anymore on this podcast for the final seven games, because that'll probably mean we haven't achieved what I think we're probably very close to achieving.
Yeah, I think to be honest, we're that close to achieving it, I think. It's hard for us to believe at the moment because we, as you say, it is the Derby way. We know exactly what Derby do. But I'd like to think this year is different. I'd like to think we've got enough now to get over the line. I think the fact that we got that bolt result, I think that's proved that we can do this now and that it is in our hands. And 4 points, it doesn't sound a lot. But when there's 7 games left, you've got to look at who our opponents are. You've got to look at who's around us and who they've got to play. And I think realistically, we've got a free hit, as Chris said, against Portsmouth. And then these six others, really, we should get something from. So I don't want to say we're going to bottle it because I'd like to be optimistic this year. And I'd like to think that this is the one that we do it and get back to the championship of where we'll hope to be next season.
Lovely way to end the pod. Mitchell, thanks very much for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me back on. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No worries. And Chris, as always, mate, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Really enjoyed it. All right, mate.
Before we leave, here's Jack Bryan with a roundup of the Derby County women's action for this week.
Derby County women's fell to a 2-0 defeat when they travelled to Stoke last Wednesday in what was a battle of 7th versus 8th. After great chances for Amy Sims and Kira Rye early on, which Potters keeper Geordie Ferguson saved well, it was the hosts who took the lead. After 11 minutes, Heidi Logan shot from the left-hand side of the box, her effort going under Sarah Morgan and trickling in. Stoke grabbed the next goal too, Lily Murphy getting in behind the defence and pulling the ball back to Saffron Jordan, whose shot deflected off Charlotte Stales and into the bottom right corner. As they had done in the opening minutes, Rye and Sims linked up later in the first half when Rye met Sims' cross but couldn't get much power on it. Sarah Morgan was forced into a save at the far post towards the end of the first half before Derby started the second half the better side. Molly Rhodes-Andrews' attempt from 25 yards was just over the bar and Dulcie O'Connor hit the post from a free kick on the edge of the box. Stoke's Heidi Logan had a couple more chances drifting in from the left-hand side the second half, the second of which forced Morgan into a good save, ensuring her side avoided the scramble like the first. Substitute Isabel Sheridan hit the woodwork for Derby with 20 minutes to play and the Ewes nearly had a goal late on after multiple blocked shots and deflections in a round box, but couldn't find the net. After her side's third defeat in four, Sam Griffiths said that she felt Derby didn't deserve to be two goals down at half time, but she was disappointed with her team's application in the second half. Whilst they had good spells, you have to be consistent. While Captain Amy Sims said that, quote, as players, we needed to show character, and we didn't do that really. Stoke, now up to fourth, faced third place Burnley on Sunday, that game having been postponed from last weekend. Derby also had last Sunday off, giving them, quote, time to reflect, and now face the visit of Fylde to the Diamond Arena, Fylde yet to win a league game this season. And in other news, the venue for the final of the FA Women's National League Plate has been announced. Derby will face Cambridge United at Broadhurst Park, that's the home of FC United of Manchester. Tickets for that one are on sale now. I'll have reaction from the Fylde game, plus build-up to the East Midlands Derby, which is against Nottingham Forest, of course, at Pride Park, on Sunday the 31st of March, in next week's episode.
And until next time, up the Rams! Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast. Or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.